If there's one hot topic in every culture, pretty much at every time, it's the subject of love. And if I had a nickel for every parishioner who came up to me, especially after either a controversial homily or wanting to deal with difficult or controversial church teachings, basically saying that Christ's basic message was love, I wouldn't need to be in this business. I could probably retire in style. But if there's one teaching that everybody seems to know that came out of the scriptures and specifically the words of Jesus, is that Jesus told us to love. That's pretty much it. He said nothing else. Maybe don't judge. That's another, maybe a close second. But if there's one teaching everyone seems to remember, is Jesus told us to love. No ifs, ands, or buts, no classifications. He told us to love, therefore we must love. End of story. That's it. Amen. What a country. But then you look at the actual context in which Jesus says it, and you realize there's more to it than simply love. I often like it when I get into the conversations with people when I say, yeah, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, live in my love. And they say, exactly, Father, he said love. Then he goes on, you live in my love if you do what I command you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends, and you are my friends if you do what I command you. In other words, when the Beatles sang in the 60s, all you need is love, all you need is love, they meant it perhaps in a different way than Jesus meant it. Perhaps if Jesus wrote the Beatles song, it would have said, all you need is total obedience to God, all you need is total obedience to God. And let's face it, love is a very hot topic in our culture, especially since the moral upheaval of the 60s. Even in political campaigns, we hear such sundry slogans as freedom to love. Of course, we all know what they're talking about there, don't we? I won't get into it because, folks, let's face it, there are children present. But we throw love around in so many different ways that even people within Christianity and in the Catholic Church want the church to change its teachings. Or they simply ignore the church's teachings in favor of such sundry and popular promiscuities and adulteries and lifestyles in order to accommodate a modern understanding of love. And many times they will say, well, Jesus just told us to love. They forget the commandments part. But believe it or not, in the entire Bible, specifically the Greek translation, there are three ancient Greek words that are used to express the one English word of love. The first is used only twice in the Old Testament and never in the New Testament. And that word is eros. Interestingly enough, it was the most popular reference to love in the ancient Greco-Roman culture. And of course, eros is from which we get the word erotic, the physical aspects of love, which, let's face it, is usually what we're referring to nowadays when people talk about such things as freedom to love, the physical pleasures that are involved with love. The second is the word philios, which is the love that is born between two people who are very, very good friends. The love between two good friends. In short, folks, a little literary reference here. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson were not lovers. Frodo Baggins and Samwise Gamgee in The Lord of the Rings were not lovers. They were good friends and shared between them that philios, that love between good friends. That too is a word found in the scriptures. But the word most widely used in the scriptures, but least used in the ancient Greco-Roman culture, is the word agape, the Greek word agape, which means a total giving of one's self for another. A total giving of one's self for another. Pope Benedict speaks of all three of these in his encyclical, Jesu Caritas Est, Jesus is love, God is love. And I'll just read a brief half of one paragraph. I think that's about all we can process. It's very, very intellectual and cyclical. But he writes that love, that love between a man and a woman, which is neither planned nor willed, but somehow imposes itself upon human beings, was called eros by the ancient Greeks. Let us note straight away that the Greek Old Testament uses the word eros only twice, while the New Testament does not use it at all. Of the three Greek words for love, eros, philia, the love of friendship, and agape, New Testament writers prefer the last, which occurs rather infrequently in Greek usage. As for the term philia, the love of friendship, it is used with added depth of meaning in St. John's Gospel in order to express the relationship between Jesus and his disciples. The tendency to avoid the word eros, together with the new version of love expressed through the word agape, clearly point to something new and distinct about the Christian understanding of love. In other words, folks, the Christian understanding of love is just a little bit more sophisticated than what came out of Berkeley in the 60s. And we see culturally how that clashes. The love that Jesus speaks of is constantly caught up in total obedience to God and a total giving of oneself for another, just as Jesus did. So when he says, love one another as I have loved you, he's not meaning it in the erotic sense, but he's meaning it in the agape sense. Giving himself totally for his people out of love and out of obedience to his Father. When you compare that to the modern notions of love that even Catholics get caught up in, I mean, let's face it, I have met devout Catholics, at least all their lives were devout Catholics, who suddenly dismantle all of church teaching and even the scriptures themselves once their children come out of the closet. Or once their children enter into a lifestyle that is not conducive to church teaching. All that dismantles their entire faith. Because after all, it's about love. But when we understand it from what Christ is speaking of, it really isn't about Christian love. Again, bearing in mind the audience at hand, it is about the physical aspects of love. Let me get a little more specific. The pleasures derived from various emissions and secretions of certain biological glands, but it's not love. Others see it as a kind of freedom of behavior. As long as you're a good person, or as long as you have good feelings or a sense of bubbly, warm, fuzzy, if it's about love, then pretty much anything goes. But that love is completely devoid of a very important thing. If it does not include a total obedience to God's commands, call it what you want. In the Christian mindset, it's not love. In other words, just as Pope Benedict points out in his encyclical, the most common word for love in the Greco-Roman sense was the least used in the scriptures. And the least used word in the Greco-Roman culture was the most common word for love in the scriptures. What does that tell us? Even back in the earliest years of the church, the Christian understanding of love was counter-cultural. Completely against the cultural dominant understanding of love. It's nice to know nothing's changed. Because even today, when it comes to the Christian understanding of love, we must be counter-cultural. Because Jesus is clear what he means when he says, live on in my love. One of the most widely known, most beloved passages in the scriptures. live in my love. This I command you, love one another. But he doesn't mean it in the popular sense in which many people either simply ignore church teaching or want the church to change its teaching in favor of the popular sense. Jesus means it in a way that is completely counter to the popular culture, both of his time and of ours. And we, as his followers, need to have the faith and, yes, the backbone to stand up for that understanding of love. Because this is what Jesus commanded us. It's not devoid of the other understandings of love. Because let's face it, a husband and wife who share that love are giving themselves totally to one another. We hope they also share a philia, an intense friendship. And of course, we as Catholics do not consider a marriage valid unless it is consummated in the sense of eros. But primarily, when the eros has subsided, and let's face it, I think all of us have known people where after 50 years or 60 years, or sometimes even after only 10 or 20 years of marriage, the philia tends to be wavering just a little bit. The agape, the total self-giving of one to another, for which married couples, the martyrs, the apostles, so many of the saints are such great examples of it, as well as so many people who we see who live their life in holy matrimony, continually giving of themselves as an example of that love that Jesus has called us to. That too is truly counterculture to our society today. So let us, as we hear this very well-known and popular teaching of Christ, live in my love, love one another as I have loved you, that we as his followers embrace not the popular notion of love, but the countercultural notion that Jesus gives us. Countercultural at his time as much as it is today. And let us have the faith, the courage, and the spine to truly be prophets of that love that Jesus calls us to live as his followers.